word that the Lord laid on my heart for today is simply building His house. What does it mean to build His house? We're in the beginning of 2016, and so often in our culture, as we plan and we make our New Year's resolutions, and we plan and we aim and we set goals for ourselves, I was just really inquiring from God, what is God's heart for us? What is His resolution? What is His hope? What is His dream? What is His plan for us? And how can we as His people, as His children, align with that? And it's with that that I'm starting this message, simply building God's house. And over the next couple of weeks, we are going to explore what does this mean to build God's house. What is God's house, and what and how do we build it? So that's really the word that the Lord has laid on my heart, and there's a lot of things that I want to share, and as the weeks go on, we will explore together exactly what that means. But I want to start off with this key verse that is found in 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 5. It confirms that word that was also shared with us from Naomi. It says here, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by man, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is such a powerful portion of Scripture, and it's really one of those Scriptures that is going to define where we're going this year, is really just this concept that as we come to Him, He uses us as living stones. We are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not physical sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And that is what we're going to look at. How do we build this house of God? What is this house and how do we build it? And it's so important also, if we read this in context, I want us just to look at the same portion of Scripture in context. It's here from verse 1. 1 Peter 2 verse 1, it says, so put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone rejected by man, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. That is the context of the key verse. And it's so powerful, this last portion of Scripture, which is a quotation of Isaiah, the Amplified puts it so beautifully. It says, behold, I'm laying in Zion a choice stone, a precious, honored cornerstone. And he who believes in Him, whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Him, will never be disappointed in his expectations. And this is so powerful because building God's house starts with the understanding that we are building on Christ. He is the foundation, like Paul says in Corinthians, that no one can lay except this that is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. The church is built on Him. He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation of everything. But He builds with living stones, not with dead stones. He builds with living stones, not with dead stones. So first of all, we need to understand, and as time comes, we will explore this, that Christ Himself is the foundation of this house. He is the cornerstone on which everything else is built. It is not built around people. It's not built around traditions. It is not built around creeds, denominations, or buildings. It is built around Christ and Christ alone. This is the house that God desires, a spiritual house that is built upon Christ. So how do we build this house? 1 Peter 2 verse 4, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by man, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you also, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And I think this is the first important thing that we need to understand about the house of God. It is a spiritual house. It is a spiritual house. It is not a physical place. It's not a building of brick and mortar. This is not the house of God. We are the house of God. It's not the building that we meet in, but the people that we meet with. That is the house of God. It's not a building of brick and mortar. It is not us bringing some resources to a specific place to be built into something. It's not us bringing something somewhere physical. No, we are the resources. We are not a middleman bringing of what we have to give to God what He needs. No, we are the resources. We are the stones that God builds with. It's not the bricks, it's not the mortar. It is you and me. This is so important for us to understand. As we come to God, we don't come to Him with something. We come to Him with us. That is what we bring to God. Our abilities and our resources are extensions of us, but God is not looking after, He's not looking for your money, He's not looking for your abilities, He's not looking for your talents, He's looking for you. He's looking for your heart. He's looking for my heart. So when we come to Him to build His house, we need to understand we are not coming as a middleman, something to give. We are coming as the resources itself. We are the stones that God wants to build with. God says, I want you. So it's not about your resources, your ability, your talents. It is about your heart. God wants you. And He wants to build with you. It doesn't matter if you're a widow with only 2 copper coins. It doesn't matter if you're a young rich ruler. It doesn't matter if you're a boy with 2 fish and 5 loaves. It doesn't matter if you're a humble fisherman. God is after your heart. He's after you. Because you are the living stone. That is what God is after. And God is saying to us today, in a very simple term, I want you. It's not like the poster in America, the recruitment army poster that says, I need you. No, it is, I want you. I want you. I love you. I want you to follow me. I don't want you to bring to me. I want you to follow me. And I think that is one of the challenges, is a mind shift that needs to take place in many of our hearts and minds, is that God is saying to us, follow me. I want you. I don't want you to bring me anything. I want you to give me everything. I want you. It doesn't matter who you are. Old or young, rich or poor. God says, I want you. You are the stone that I want to build with. That's the first thing that we need to settle in our hearts and in our minds. So what does this mean? In 1 Peter 2 verse 4, it says it so powerfully. It says, as you come to Him. This is so powerful. Let's read that again. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house. As you come to Him, the living stone, you yourself, like a living stone, are being built up. So as we come to Him, the first way we build this house, as we come to Him, and we are not coming to a building or to a creed or to a denomination. We are coming to Christ. So when we talk about building God's house, we're not talking about extending this building. We're not talking about getting more people to buy into a creed or a denomination. We are talking about people coming to Jesus, the person. Not the building, not the denomination, the person of Jesus Christ. We build this house as we come to Him. So that's the first step in building this house. We come to Him. We present ourselves. That is how we build God's house. We come to God and we say, God, here I am. I present myself. That is far more than my finances, my resources, my abilities, my time. It's everything. It's God, here I am. Use me. Build with me. You know that song we used to sing as children? He is the potter. We are the clay. Vorm my en maak my net soos U wil. That is such a powerful song. It's a song of consecration. Here I am, God. You are the master. I am the clay. You shape me in whichever way you choose to. As we build God's house, we come to Him and we present ourselves. We surrender ourselves. We consecrate ourselves to Him. This is how we build. We come to Him from one place to another place. This is also so important for us to understand. It says here in the context, you'll see this very clearly as we read it again. It's literally, we used to be in a particular place and now we are coming to God, which is at another place. And as we come from one place to another place, we come from the world to Him. We used to be in the world, but now we come to Him that is a part of the world. It is a different kingdom. We move from one place to another place. We present ourselves to Him. Here in 1 Peter 2 from verse 6, it says, the context of us coming to Him, it puts it very clearly where we are coming from and where we're going to. It says here, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And as you come to Him. Do you see that? As we leave this place and we come to Him. As we leave the world behind and we crave His ways. Not the world's ways, but His ways. We present ourselves to Him. We turn from the one to the other and we present ourselves. The previous chapter puts it even in greater context. It says here in 1 Peter 1 from verse 13, it says, therefore preparing your minds for action. It's so powerful. This is not just a spiritual thing, people. This is not just something we understand with our hearts and our emotions. This is something here. It is a mindset. And yet Peter speaks, he says, therefore preparing your minds for action. And being sober-minded as you set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Do you see this very clear context? We come to God from one place to another. There's a clear cut. There's a clear understanding that I used to be controlled by the desires of my flesh in this world. But now I come to Him and I present myself to Him and I say, God, I'm yours to follow You in Your ways, in Your desires. Come, here I am, Lord. It's so interesting, the word holy, it is so challenging. It says, and you also be holy in all your conduct. It says you used to be driven by your former ways of life, by your former desire, but now as you come to Him to present yourselves, you too be holy in all your conduct. This used to be your conduct, but now as you present yourselves to God, this is the consequence. Maria was speaking about the consequence. The consequence of your action and your decision and your consecration will look completely different to what it used to be. And it's so interesting, this word holy that we know so well, we'll look into this. But holy does not only mean sacred, something pure and blameless. It's very interesting, the word holy means consecrated. It means set apart. So God is not just saying, listen, yeah, I want you to look completely different. God is saying, no, I want you to be set apart completely different. You used to be here, but I want you to be separate for me. You are coming to me. Let go. You are to be set apart, consecrated in all your ways when you come to me. So God is inviting us to come to him, but he wants us to be sober-minded, our minds ready for action, understanding that we present ourselves, we present everything. Then he says, we must prepare our mind. He says we must be self-controlled and we must set our hope fully on the grace given to us. And that's so powerful about grace. Grace is not just something that sets us free. Because our salvation is not based on what we have done, it's based on what he has done. But there's something else about grace. Grace is not just setting us free based on what he has done. Grace is something that empowers us to be what he wants us to be. It's not just freedom, it is the ability to be free. And that's the power of grace. It empowers us to be free. That is what Romans 6 is all about. So my hope is not in my own victory, my hope is in his victory, and it is in that that I myself is free. It's because what he has done. But grace is not just freedom, it is the power to be free. It is not just setting me free from what I have done, but it is enable me to live a life that God wants me to. But in the middle is the choice that has a consequence. Your choice has consequence. You're either going to be in the world and live like the world, or you're going to be in God and by the power of the grace in you live a different life. But you've got to decide what you consecrate. Because what you consecrate, you enable God to empower through his grace, not your own strength, but his strength that is made perfect in my weakness enables me to do what I cannot do. But the key is, what do I give to God? God can only empower you to be free in what you surrender God. What you do not surrender to God, God cannot set you free of. Because we have been given free will. We have been given the power of choice. We have been given the authority that whatever we bind and whatever we loose will be loosed or bound. And you know, one of the keys of freedom is called surrender. But more than surrender, it is consecration. It's one thing to say, come in. It's another thing to say, have everything. And many people struggle with this. And this is one of the things that I believe God is challenging us for this year, is this: God wants us to consecrate ourselves to God. And the amazing thing about grace is, whatever you consecrate to God, God empowers to be. So your freedom is dependent on what you surrender to God, what you consecrate to God. God is saying, come to me, I want to build with you. Be consecrated in everything that you do. And my grace will empower you to be freedom. So 1 Peter 1 verse 14 to 16 continues. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Here comes that word obedience. As children to their parents. God is saying, as children are obedient to their parents, so be obedient to me. It's a challenging for many modern Christians, this word obedience. But God is saying, come, consecrate to me and listen to me. Not to the world like you used to. Don't listen to what the world says about sexuality, what the world says about riches, what the world says about fame and security. Come to me and listen to me. That's consecration. He's saying, God, I'm going to follow you. I used to be obedient to the world and my own desires, but now I'm obedient to God and his desire. That is why God says, do not conform to this world, but be holy. God is not expecting us anything that we cannot do. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. It is in your weakness that my strength is made perfect. But the access of that grace is through consecration. It's through surrender. When I'm saying, God, here I am. God says, come. I will change you. I will change you. So we present ourselves to God. We consecrate ourselves to Him. And by His grace, we are not only declared holy, we are also empowered to be holy in all our conduct. But we choose to whom we conform to. We choose to whom we present ourselves to. We also choose what we present and how much we present. And that enables God to pour life into what is surrendered to Him. And God is desiring us to surrender all things in all our conduct to Him. You know what? I love Jesus. But from time to time, I speed. Where's Patrick? It's a confession. From time to time, we know this little double lane coming down to the school that says 60 kilometers an hour. We know that. And from time to time, when I'm late, I don't stick to 60. From time to time, I'm very careful to observe where the traps are, the cameras. You know, we don't like that Happy New Year, little Happy New Year card from the traffic department. I've become very good at avoiding them. I don't get many tickets. But you know what? I still tend to speed when I'm late. But then I'm challenged when God says, in all your conduct. And I realize there's an area in my life that I need to consecrate to Him. And say, God, I love You very much and I've consecrated all these areas of my life to You, God. But this one thing, you know what? I have somehow justified for myself why it is fine to speed. Excuse the pun. It's not fine. I need to surrender my whole life. God wants me to be holy in all my conduct. God wants me to be consecrated in all my conduct. So God, I must come to You and say, God, the way I drive, I need to consecrate it to You. Not by the way the world does it, or the way I used to do it, or by what my desires are. No, God, what is Your desire for my driving? I want to consecrate the way I drive to You, God. And you know what's so powerful? The moment you do that, God's grace comes in and enables you to be what God wants you to be. But while I still decide I'm going to drive the way I drive because of all these reasons, which is neither of God's reason, nor of the Word's reason, but it's all my reason, man's reason. Why? You know, while I hold on to this to myself, God cannot empower me to be holy. That's what consecration is. It's when I come to God and I say, God, I'm going to follow You. Your way. So God, I want to give this area of my life to You. I want to consecrate it to You, God. And I say, God, by Your grace, come and empower me to be holy in the way I drive. You know what's the amazing thing? The moment we do that, God enables us and He starts to teach us, to shape us, to mold us, to form us, to transform us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. And if you are there, then maybe then you can put up a sticker on your bumper, I love Jesus. But until you've consecrated your driving, please do not put that sticker on your bumper. Yes. But before you do that, first consecrate your driving. So what area in your life do you still need to consecrate to God? Because in this year, we're going to build Him His house. And God wants to build with living stones. He wants to build with all of you. My question this morning is, what area of your life do you still need to consecrate to Him? Don't be afraid, like the Word says, he who puts his trust in Him will not be disappointed. But you must trust Him. You see, that's the challenge about consecration, is because the world says this leads to fame, this leads to success, this leads to fulfillment. God says something completely different that is contrary to the world, and you need to choose who you believe. But more than that, you need to choose who you trust. Because faith is not just here, it is here. And that's why the scripture supports, it says, prepare your minds. Be sober about this. Because it starts here and it flows to here. So you need to trust Him. If you don't trust Him, you will never consecrate your life fully to Him. So for some of us here, this year, God is wooing you. You know that word? It's such a beautiful English word. It is what a lover does to his fiancée. I'm calling, I'm beckoning you to me. God is calling, beckoning us to consecrate our lives to Him. And it's by His grace that we are not only declared holy, we are also empowered to be holy in all our conduct. But it's a consequence of a decision that allows God's grace to empower us. That is what Romans 12, verse 1 to 2 is. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. It's so powerful. Again, it's like 1 Peter that says, if indeed you have tasted, if indeed that you are saved, this is what you will do. Yet, Paul continues, he says, in light of everything that you receive from God, in light of this great salvation, in light of His great grace over your life, in light of the fact that you don't have to do anything, but He's done everything for you, in light of all your salvation, what you have experienced and received, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourself, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, your logical, your intellectual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by renewing your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, His plan and His purpose for you. That's the Amplified version. Isn't that beautiful? But Paul is saying, based on everything that you've received, this is your logical, your reasonable response to the great grace that you have received. Do not be conformed here any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will follow not the world, but you will follow God. And in following God, you will be changed more and more into the very image that you see. So God is challenging us this year, as we start this year to build His house, to start with the very first thing, is that we must come to Him and say, God, here I am. I want to consecrate my life to You. You are the master. You are the potter. God, I am the clay. God, I'm coming to You not as a half-baked pot with half of my life moldable and the other one set in its ways. God, now I want to come to You putty. And I want You to shape me, God. Not the world, but I want You to shape me. I want not to be conformed to this world, but I want to be conformed. I want to be renewed. It's going to take time to change the way I drive when I'm late. It's going to take time. But little, by God's grace, He will teach me and change me to become. Every area in your life that you consecrate, and that's the history of my life. Every area of my life that I've consecrated to God has changed. And I've never been disappointed. And every year, from time to time, God comes to me and He says, now that we have consecrated this area of your life, there's another one, Andries. There's another one. Let's talk about this one. Don't you want to surrender it? Consecrate it. The way we drive, the way we speak, the way we do our finance, the way we pay our fines. You know, that happy new year, happy birthday, we miss you from the traffic department. You know. Pay your fines. Yes, we can justify it. We can justify it 120 ways why we would not pay it, but God says we pay it. We submit to the authorities over us, as unto Him. So I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe it's a sensitive issue. I don't know. But consecrate it to God. If you live in a house, pay the rent. Pay the rent. Pay your bills. If you have employers under you, employees, treat them fair. Pay them what they do. Yes, in this world we can have 120 reasons why we can justify this, but that's not God's way. God has said, consecrate to me your whole life, all your conduct. Consecrate it to me, and my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient to empower you to be what you think you cannot be, but just trust me, surrender to me. And you know what? I can guarantee you will not be disappointed. You will not even be disappointed in paying your fees. I'll tell you what will happen. If you decide you're going to consecrate this area of your life to God, and yes, it's going to hurt because you probably have a lot of fines to pay, but when you do, there will come a peace in your heart that surpasses all understanding. Not because you paid the fines, but because you're submitting to God. Trust me, try that. If it doesn't work, you can have your money back. Not your fines, but, I mean, can't promise you that. Consecrate. That's what God is calling us in this year. So, in summary, dedicating all of ourselves, according to Romans, so beautiful, dedicating all of ourselves set apart as a living sacrifice. It is our rational, logical, intellectual act of worship. Not to be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but to be transformed and progressively changed as we mature spiritually. By renewing of our mind the way we think about these things, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that we may prove, not just to ourselves, this is so important, so that we may prove what is the good and the perfect and the acceptable will of God. It is not just to prove it to ourselves. It is to prove it to the world. It is in when we are living according to God's way that we will prove to the world outside that God's way is the best way. It is good and is accepted, acceptable and it is perfect. So as we, in the way we live our lives, reflect who God is, God gets the glory. You know, holiness is not about, godliness and holiness is not about the focus on me. It's the focus on God. It is a reflection of who God is. It is a reflection of my relationship with Him. And in living godly lives, in living holy lives, you know what? Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. It's not about me. It's about Him. Because I know He is the one that changes me to become. So building God's house starts with a choice in the head, to present ourselves, to surrender to Him, to consecrate our lives to God. And that consecration is a hard thing. It starts here that goes to here. We decide this is what we're going to do, and we do it from here as we consecrate ourselves to God. As living stones to be built by God into a spiritual house that will give Him glory. And by the way we live our lives according to His way, as we consecrate ourselves to Him, you know what? We become a lighthouse in this dark world. And we reflect who He is. And God's kingdom advances. What is God's kingdom? It is His rule and His reign in the lives of people. And when we start to consecrate ourselves and His grace empower us to live the lives that He has called us to, He gets the glory. Because it's through His strength that I do not my own. So our resources and abilities are only extensions of us. It is God that is everything in me. God is not after lifeless possessions and stones, but He's after our hearts and our lives. He wants living stones. Living stones. So today, as we are gathered here, not in the church, but as the church, let us consecrate our lives to God, to be built by Him into His purposes, and you will not be put to shame. You will be satisfied in your expectation of life as you surrender to Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You that we can be here today because of You, not because of us. God, we are not special. Lord, we're not pure. We are broken, needy, and sinful. But yet, God, You loved us so much that You gave Your Son to set us free, to cleanse us, to embrace us. You've poured Your Spirit within us to empower us to be. When You called Your disciples, You said, "Come, follow Me, and I will make you." God, this morning we come to You in the beginning of the year, Lord, and we want to consecrate our lives, Lord. We want to consecrate our lives, Lord. Lord, we want to consecrate areas in our life that is not yet Yours, that's still belonging to us and to the world. Lord, we want to consecrate everything to You, Lord. We want to say, Father, today we are here, Lord, as clay. You are the master. Take all of me, Father. You shape me. You form me. God, I cannot shape and form me into what You desire, but You can. So Lord, today I surrender everything to You so that You can do everything You want to do through me. So this morning I want to give you an opportunity where you are seated, just to take a moment and just to reflect on this invitation of consecration. It's the beginning of the year. It's the best time of the year. So I want to give you a moment just to reflect on an invitation to consecrate. What is the area? Just how you're seeing, just ask the Holy Spirit. If you don't know, just ask Him, Holy Spirit, is there an area in my life that I still need to surrender to You? And I want to give you an opportunity just as you're seated there, just to speak to God. So I'm going to give you a moment to speak to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here this morning as all the eyes are still closed. And you have never come at this point in your life where you have consecrated your life to God. You've never come to this place where you realize that you need to surrender everything to Him. And if you're here this morning and this is the first time that you are doing this, while all the eyes are closed, I just want to know who you are so that I can pray with you. And if that is you and you're surrendering your life to God for the very first time, I would love to pray with you and walk a road with you in this amazing adventure of being changed. And if that is you, I just want you to respond. If this is the very first time that you've surrendered your life to God, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond. Just raise your hand if this is your first time. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward, but you know the area in your life that you have consecrated to God. If that is you, I just want you to just verbally, softly in your heart, or as you're sitting here, as you have thought about these things, I want you to name the things. As you are seated, very softly, nobody needs to hear. I just want you to bring that area of your life to God. Father, I want to surrender my life. Maybe you're returning back to Him. Maybe there's an area in your life. Whatever it is, I want you to verbalize it. I want you to have a conversation with God and say, God, this is the area that I'm bringing to you today. God, I pray for your grace as I consecrate this. Just come and fill me. Just where you are. Don't make it abstract. Make it specific. Prepare your minds for action. Be sober about this. Say, God, today I decide to surrender this area of my life to you. God, I pray for your grace to come. Father, I pray, Lord, for all the hearts here this morning. God, I pray, Lord, as lives have been consecrated to you, Lord. I thank you in the beginning of this year, Lord, as lives have been consecrated, Lord. I thank you, God, for living stones. Living stones. God, I thank you that your grace will come, Lord, and it will take over. It will take over relationships and mindsets and challenges and fears, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will come and bring healing and restoration and that you will empower and make whole and set free. Father, I thank you that you will come, Lord, and you will establish your kingdom in the hearts and lives of these women and children and men and boys that you love so much. God, I thank you, Father, that living stones will come from this building. Living stones will leave this building to build you a house that reflects you. God, I pray that in 2016, God, your kingdom will come and your will be done in and through us in Jesus' name. Amen.